Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
This is Talk of the Devils, the Athletics podcast dedicated to Manchester United. I'm Ian Irvine and I'm getting cosy in the Old Trafford press box here with Laurie Whitwell. We're sharing a microphone and a set of headphones. Insert romantic music. Reflecting on Manchester United's draw with Chelsea. We're also joined on the line from Barca by Andy Mitten as well. Coming up, we'll discuss the game here tonight and also, of course, the other bits and bobs on the futures of both the interim manager Ralph Rangnick and also fullback Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who missed the game. And could Calvin Phillips also be doing an Alan Smith? We'll get the latest on that as well. But first, let's talk about tonight. Then, Laurie, like me, you're here. We're doing that thing again where we're running the risk of getting thrown out sometime soon and there's lots of people collecting litter. But what did you make of the action on the pitch?
Yeah, well, I tweeted at half-time that United would be frustrated that the whistle went to stop their momentum that was building fantastically, and I was doing my best Andy Mitten impression. A few people got the sarcasm, some others didn't, but yeah, it was a pretty dreadful first half, wasn't it, where, I mean, Chelsea just attacked at will. United were anemic. At least the second half they showed a bit of spirit, didn't they? Obviously went 1-0 down, but then straight away responded. Fantastic goal. Matic again assisting Ronaldo. Sort of a little bit of an Indian summer for those two, I suppose, at the end of this season. But overall, Chelsea were much the superior side. And just really, it's an example of where United are at, really, in terms of, you know, bringing on Phil Jones and Juan Mata.
I didn't get that.
I think Ralph Rangnick afterwards said basically the game was still in the balance and, you know, still didn't want to, you know, go and lose the game.
I still don't get it.
I can see it from both sides, to be totally honest, just because I think the way the game was going, United were getting overrun anyway. So if you put a youngster in just to give him a chance, there's not a... He's got as much chance of drowning in that as thriving. I mean, Garnacho went on for the sort of last 5 minutes, didn't he? And I don't think he actually touched the ball in the end, but, you know, he sprinted into spaces for a couple of attacks. So at least there was that moment. And there was a really nice touch, actually, at the end of the game. Andy, you'll be pleased to hear this, that Alejandro Garnacho's mother was in the stands with the family, a couple of lads with Garnacho 75 shirts on the backs, and they were taking like a little picture as a memento at the end of the game. Went and got a sort of applause, I suppose, or a congratulations rather, from Harry Maguire and Richard Arnold and John Murta. And she did have two magazines in her hand. They were Manchester United matchday programmes, I'm afraid to say, Andy. So she must have already read United We Stand from cover to cover.
She's an electronic subscriber, isn't she, Andy?
No, she bought the printed edition at Arsenal at the weekend.
I was trying to save you, sorry.
She has, she's read it cover to cover. I would expect her to get in touch any day soon just to give us feedback on the latest issue and inquire about a subscription. I think you summed it up well tonight, Laurie. I feel disappointed. I thought Chelsea were much better than United. There was a little bit of fight and resilience in the second half from Manchester United. But two wins from 11 matches. No one scoring any goals apart from Cristiano Ronaldo. Mutiny in the air once again. Fans had planned a protest. It was a significant one again outside the ground. There were banners in the Stretford End saying Glazers out. I think if United wouldn't have scored when the team did score, the mood was really starting to get angry among the fans. But United did. It was a brilliant goal. It was a brilliant pass from Nemanja Matic to Cristiano Ronaldo. But look at the league table. United are 25 points behind City. You've got two games in hand. 11 points behind Chelsea. And I don't want this to become a moan fest again, because people are just going to switch off and just think, oh no, not again. Chelsea are a very good team. Their performance in Madrid a couple of weeks ago was one of the best I've seen from an English team in the Bernabeu. Absolutely fantastic. They've got young players. They attacked in waves. I think they had 21 shots on to United 6. United had 35% possession. So it really is damning against Manchester United. But I can't say we're surprised. the only surprise is that United didn't lose the match, given what happened against Arsenal, given what happened against Liverpool. United are drawing a few too many, or losing too many as well, obviously. So I just can't wait for this season to end. The positives are so few. If we're going to pick on them, you mentioned Garnacho, great. Hopefully he'll get some proper minutes. Ronaldo's statistics are incredible. And we're starting to scrape the barrel beyond that.
Yeah, Ronaldo's doing it again, isn't he? Scored 8 of the last 9 goals for Manchester United. The other one was scored by Fred when Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't even playing. Only Mohamed Salah now has scored more goals in the Premier League. I mean, I know we've talked about him a lot, in particular in recent weeks. There's not been much to hang on to, Laurie, but even his all-round game tonight actually looked the part. It wasn't just about the goal, was it?
That was something Ralph Rangnick touched on afterwards. I mean, there's one bit where he's in the left-back spot, isn't it? I mean, Chelsea down that right were just constantly getting in. You know, they had Mason Mount down that side. Reece James was fantastic. And, you know, United were getting swarmed, really. And Ronaldo dropped back to do a bit of defensive duties. I mean, he had the two shots that United had on target. You know, the goal, obviously, and then the one sort of snapshot after that, I think. So, yeah, I mean, without him scoring these goals right now, United would be nowhere, wouldn't they? They'd be even more hopeless. I mean, Ralph Rangnick even said, though, that even with him staying, you know, there perhaps is a debate over, is he definitely going to stay, or would he look at his options? You know, United need two strikers anyway, so, you know, it's in the summer transfer window. So it's a real area where they're going to have to do some proper work and address it, because, you know, to have somebody scoring that many goals in your team is obviously a positive in one sense, but you can't be relying, can you, on a 37-year-old at this stage?
No, and he also almost single-handedly ensured that Manchester United still have a chance of equaling their worst ever points tally in the history of the Premier
League.
As well, Andy. Yeah, I mean, if they win the last three games, they equal the worst tally under David Moyes back. Well, David Moyes didn't even finish that season to complete that tally, did he, Andy? I mean, that is a measure, really, of how disappointing this campaign has been, really. A stat like that just underlines it, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I was trying to think earlier, this is the worst season since when? And I got back to 88-89, because in, at least in 89-90, Manchester United did win the FA Cup. There was hope that season, and at the moment, I think there's just very little hope for this season. Obviously, United went out of the cup competitions. Can you recall a worse season? I can remember 04-05 being pretty bleak, but United finished third that year, and it was bleak because there was a Glazer takeover that had gone through. United did actually reach the cup final and play really well, but lost against an Arsenal team. I was just looking back through all the different seasons and using a variety of not just league finishes, and you have to go back a long, long way for it to feel so bad to me.
I think you're right in the start of this game, when there were so many empty seats. I know it's part of the protest, but you looked around, it sort of reminded me a little bit of the Burnley game, you know, in January 2020, where it felt mutinous. They lost 2-0 and ended up, that sort of forced the hand, and they signed Bruno Fernandes. But it felt that there was just apathy, you know, there was anger. And you touched on the Glazer sort of chance. That was a consistent theme throughout, particularly the first half.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Stand up if you hate Glazers was 3 times, and, you know, and by the third time it perhaps didn't get quite the reaction of the first two, but the first one was literally, you know, pretty much everyone in the stadium I could see.
Ralph Rangnick didn't stand up.
True. Well, was he not already stood up by the touchline?
Maybe. Does that
count? But that's the kind of image that you think of as, this is a low, really low moment. What is worse than that?
For me, it's a sense of drift. I think I've used that word before on the podcast a few times, but the last few weeks have just drifted. The games have drifted. The halves of football have drifted. My mind's drifted.
Yeah,
it's just really felt like that, hasn't it? Especially being at the games as well. I don't know if people at home feel the same, but that sense of purpose and direction has just been lost, really. Rangnick said it a few times now, but he sort of felt that the energy was sucked out of this side when they were knocked out of the Champions League against Atletico Madrid, and really it has probably felt like a drift since then.
At the end of this game, you had the players on the pitch, and it was, you know, I guess refreshing in a way that they didn't just all sort of go off, but they were kind of sort of walking around, not really knowing what to do.
Do I applaud?
Yeah, it was like, well, is this? I mean, it's a penultimate home game of the season. Yeah. It's Brentford's going to be a really weird atmosphere, isn't it? Like, what's going to happen there? I mean, is there going to be a lap of honour? You know, you can't really. Might get pelted on the way around, you know, like.
Yeah, because actually when David Moyes' season finished, obviously Ryan Giggs was in caretaker charge at that point, but it was sort of overshadowed by some of the figures who were leaving the club at the time. I remember that final game, the mood had changed anyway because Moyes had gone and Giggs had come in, but the opportunity to say farewell to Nemanja Vidic sort of overshadowed everything else.
Did Rio Ferdinand go that season?
I think, well, yeah, and Evra did, didn't he? But I don't know if everyone got a farewell at the end because it wasn't all conferred by that match. But yeah, there was sort of things to occupy the mind, whereas it doesn't feel like there necessarily is this time. Although, of course, in that match against Brentford on Monday, it could be the final home game for quite a few players, actually, couldn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah, you'd say so. Yeah, I mean, you've got Matic, you know, clearly one of them. Mata, you know, there's. I mean, Edinson Cavani might be back. he's going to have a weird reception, I think.
Forgotten what he looks like.
Well, I mean, Ralph Rangnick said again, you know, he's supposed to be training tomorrow, a.k.a. Friday, but it very much is putting the ball in his court, so it doesn't seem like he's harbouring a great hope to you know, rely on him. But there is this debate, isn't there? I don't know what you think of this, Andy, where... particularly in the Q&A on the Athletic website, you know, you've got fans saying, just put the kids in. I don't get it why, you know, you're putting on Mata and Jones. You know, what do you think? I mean, would you just play the kids now? Garnacho, Hannibal, Shola Shoretira was on the bench. Alvaro Fernandez was on the bench for the first time in his Manchester United career.
I get the emotional reaction to that question. Put the kids in. They can't be any worse than these wasters, etc., etc. Actually, they could be a lot worse. United could lose 9 or 10-0 to a Chelsea team as good as that if you put a team of kids in. I think a balance is the right thing to do. Maybe bring two or three of them in. These are players who are likely to go on loan before they come back and have a go at establishing themselves in Manchester United's first team. There's still a significant way for them to go with their development. You might get that sort of Rashford effect when he came in as a one-off, but I think as we've seen with Anthony Elanga, it's really difficult to do well consistently in what is a really struggling team. And that's what makes Ronaldo's statistics even more impressive. This is a really bad Manchester United team that he's scoring all of these goals in. So I would have loved to have seen Garnacho get more than 2 minutes. I'm told that he's training really well. I definitely think there's a case for bringing two or three of these players in. Brentford, as you say, is just going to feel like an absolute nothing match. The only surprise is that the ground is still full. If I go back to the 89 season, the crowds at the end of it, they dropped away 26,000 against Everton at Old Trafford, 23,000 against Wimbledon at Old Trafford.
There'd be more than that at the FA Youth Cup final in May.
It could be, couldn't they?
Well, there's 35,000 tickets sold May the 11th for this FA Youth Cup final.
Oh, really?
Which,
already?
Which Garnacho will be, you know, starting in. So it's kind of funny that at least he's got a taste of a full Old Trafford. But yeah, 35,000, possibly even more by the time the match comes round.
It just shows how big the support is. At the start of the game, as you both mentioned, there were some empty seats, but it filled up. There were still over 70,000 people inside Old Trafford. The support is massive. It's grown so much. And I think there's a strong bedrock there. And I also think season tickets will sell out again for next season because Erik ten Hag will come in. We're all suckers for this, you know, believing that there's going to be a brighter future all the time. I tweeted before the match tonight, no matter how bad United are, I still look forward to games. And I do, I can't help it. That's just my reaction. And then after the match, speaking to you now, it's one of disappointment. So I don't know whether I need to see like a shrink because there's some sort of addiction going on here.
Do you need us to confirm that you've got an addiction to Manchester United, Andy, after all the work and all these years?
Well, yeah.
How many countries have you followed
in? In my defence, I do try and have a balanced life as well and go and watch other football matches.
Believe,
but yeah,
I
am cornered here. I'm going to struggle to defend that, aren't I?
I think you are, yeah. Just talking about some of the players who are out of contract, really, and particularly, you know, with the subs tonight as well. Juan Mata, one of the players brought on, he'd not kicked a ball in the Premier League, had he, until a couple of weeks ago, and now he seems to be the go-to option, mainly because United have got, I think, 9 first-team players missing at the moment. But I interviewed Mata after the game, and he said, if I'm honest, I don't know what my future is yet, which is usually a sign that maybe his time at Old Trafford is coming to an end, because perhaps if he was hanging around, he would know by now. But he said that it's hurt not playing as much as he expected this season. It sounded like he'd been given some sort of assurance or sign that he would play more football this year, and that's just not happened.
Juan Mata is disappointed, and I say that with certainty, about the lack of opportunities that he has had. He feels, and other people will vouch for him, that he's been training well. You mentioned it was he came on in addition to a recent substitution appearance. In both of those games, I thought he did really well, finding spaces.
Goodison Park, I think, was his first minutes in the Premier League.
And Norwich, he came on against, and I thought he did well. I thought he made a difference when he came on against Chelsea tonight at Old Trafford. He's 34 today. He isn't 37. There's still football in him. And I do think he'll leave, and I do think he will continue at a reasonably high level. I'm not saying he's going to go back to Chelsea or Manchester City, but I still think there's a lot of football in him, because he's hardly a player who relies on physical speed. It's more speed of thought and finding the spaces. So
he said he thinks he still belongs at this level, that he can still do a job at this level if he was playing consistently.
Well, you don't want him to say, you know, I'm probably ready to play for Hartlepool now. If he doesn't believe in himself, then no one's going to believe in himself. But I said a couple of times on the pod, he played a behind closed doors game against Stoke City. And I spoke to someone from the Stoke side. He said he was, by a distance, the best player on the pitch. He's still got something. For Manchester United, he's been... I think there's a lot of sadness, actually, because one thing David De Gea always tells him is, you won't believe what it's like when we win the league here. And Juan clung to this hope of going down Dean's Gate with fans hanging off the scaffolding, of being a champion with Manchester United. And it's just not happened. It's not even come close to happening. So there's a lot of sadness, but I think he's a great human, first and foremost. I think he's had a very good career, including at Chelsea. He's been a European champion with Chelsea, very good with Valencia. He'll go with best wishes, but he's not Manchester United's future, and nor are the six or seven other players who are likely to leave either.
I didn't have time in the end, but I wanted to ask him about Alejandro Garnacho and what he'd seen in training and stuff. And I was trying to find some sort of stat that would put into context how much older Juan Mata was than Garnacho.
Double his age.
Just to maybe like lighten the mood a little bit. It didn't really work, but in the end I found out that Garnacho was born 3 days before Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal were beaten in the final of Euro 2004 against Greece.
Good stat.
It made me feel old, that. Let alone Juan Mata.
He was young there, the one in Ronaldo.
Well, yeah, but still.
We'll cling to that.
Yeah, I think so.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, Laurie, you wrote about it earlier on in the evening, Ralf Rangnick being lined up to take over as the Austria international manager once his time as interim boss here at United has come to an end. Sounds like he's going to combine it with this consultancy role that he confirmed also tonight that he is going to be doing, it seems. I didn't know that we needed it confirming, but he did.
Well, it's been up in the air, hasn't it? In terms of, he's sort of said previously he hasn't had proper talks about what it will entail, his brief, his remit. So that was new, that was fresh, that he said, I've had talks with the board as to how it will be constructed, and I can now guarantee that I will be here for the next 2 years in this consultancy role. So I'm intrigued to know exactly the details of that. We'll try and find out. But yeah, the Austria stuff coming, you know, a couple of hours before kickoff was a curveball, to say the least. There were some rumours a couple of weeks ago that clearly had substance to them, that he was in talk with Austria about taking over as manager. It looks like he's going to combine it, doesn't it? I mean, it could even be announced on Friday, you know, tomorrow, in the next 48 hours. Apparently, it's not been fully agreed, but he's seriously considering it, and people in Austria that I've spoken to say they expect him to sign on the dotted line, but he can do that with the consultancy. It might be a bit of an odd relationship, I suppose, but both jobs are kind of part-time, aren't they, really? I mean, it does sort of strike me a little bit that you know, Ralf Rangnick has made a point to the players to say you need to be playing now for Erik ten Hag. I think that's one of the last buttons he had to press, really, to kind of get a bit of authority into the situation. If they're looking at him thinking, well, you're an interim, you know, I'm kind of stopping listening so much to what you're saying.
He said in his programme notes that he wanted them to begin the next chapter tonight.
Yeah, see, I kind of thought, but then you've obviously been in talks with Austria and you're kind of going a different way. There's a little bit of irony there, isn't there? But listen, you know, he's doing what you'd expect anyone to do if he's been approached by Austria for this job. So, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to sort of see how it all shapes down. But yeah, sort of concrete news tonight in terms of him actually saying, yeah, I'm going to be a consultant at Manchester United for the next 2 years.
The thing with that, Laurie, I guess, is that United fans, I don't know, it's felt a bit weird, hasn't it, of late, sort of speaking to Ralf Rangnick about the future of the club in a sense, because we weren't sure exactly what his role was going to be. There's still some uncertainty to exactly the details of it. But the idea that he's going to be a consultant for the club, but also the Austria national team manager, does that suggest that his main focus won't be United?
It's tough to say. I mean, I guess so, because the Austrians will want him to be fully focused with them, won't they? I mean,
can you do both? I presume you can.
Oh, yeah, you must be able to, because I mean, how many international matches are there per year? You know, in Austria aren't in the World Cup, are they? So there's not that. I mean,
that's why he's taking over, isn't it? Because the previous manager left.
He left. Yeah, yeah, got beat by Wales, didn't they? Who are on a great run, by the way. But yeah, I don't think it takes up. It's not like a club job at all. It's totally different. You get a lot of spare time. He'll certainly still be in touch with, you know, top flight football with that job, and then, you know, he can perhaps feed into United in certain ways. But, you know, any time you ask him about the club of Manchester United, he has strong opinions. So I think that's what he will feel he can offer the club. He still hasn't spoken to Erik ten Hag about what he might want from him, but he's spoken to the board, so that'll be an interesting conversation when he does speak to Erik ten Hag, because surely you'd think that the incoming manager would want to hear what his reflections of his period have been, and specifically what he might, you know, be able to offer him.
Yeah, he's been particularly outspoken, Andy, it seems, about just how many players Manchester United need to sign. I think he said 10 or up to 10 after the defeat at Anfield the other week. Again tonight he reiterated the idea that there's a lot of work to be done on the recruitment side and highlighting that, and it sounds like he's going to have some sort of role in that as well. That would make sense for United to use his contact book in that sense, wouldn't it?
I'm not convinced he'll have a big role. I think he'll have a peripheral role. I think he had a peripheral role in the appointment of Ten Hag. He was told to concentrate on managing the first team. I think if results would have been much better, his voice would have been much louder. I think he speaks with intelligence and speaks about what's also good for him. He's protecting himself. There's a lot of self-preservation going on at Manchester United at the moment. When he calls out the players, I think a lot of fans like that. The players certainly don't like that. Results certainly haven't benefited from him calling them out. And I wouldn't be surprised if he faded away and did very little in the future for Manchester United. Maybe worked on the youth side. I know that there's a feeling that he's got some really good ideas in terms of player development from the younger side. But I would not be surprised if that consultancy role just became less and less and less. And at the moment, I think United are nodding along and saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. But let's see what happens. We are a long, long way from his first press conference when he said, half in jest, who he might anoint as his successor. And United fans believed in the idea of him being this all-powering, all-influential figure at the club, coming to right all the different wrongs. And some United fans still think that is the case, as evidenced when the two coaches, the two leading scouts, lost their jobs. People genuinely thought that Ralf Rangnick made that decision. He had absolutely no part to play in that decision. So I think this season will finish probably with a whimper, and we may not see him that much in the future.
Okay, if you want to read more about Ralf Rangnick's impending Austrian adventure, you can have a look at Laurie's piece on The Athletic at the minute. And Laurie, you'll be also uploading your words and reflections from tonight, won't you? Which, by the time people are listening to this podcast on Friday, bearing in mind it's 20 past 11 on Thursday night after the game, they'll also be able to read that, won't they? What's it going to be about? Have you worked it out yet?
It's going to be a bit of this, isn't it? A bit of the kind of idea that Ralf Rangnick's going to be, you know, Austrian manager, what is left of this season. You know, what can this, can any meaning be extracted from the rest of this season? You know, there should be some little details in there, hopefully, that people won't have heard before. So, but I've had my cappuccino. I'm ready to rock once I get home.
Your what's the brand? Melitta, is it?
Oh yeah, it's one of the United sponsors, isn't it? You know, yeah, top quality.
Fueled by that, absolutely. Don't forget, you can subscribe to The Athletic if you've not got a subscription for just £1 a month for the first 6 months to enjoy Laurie's words about things that are powered by cappuccinos. Go to theathletic.com/ManUnitedPod to sign up.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Elsewhere, the speculation has started swirling already about the players who could be leaving and arriving at Manchester United this summer. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is the latest name to be linked with a move away from Old Trafford. There's a piece on The Athletic at the minute written by Matt Woosnam. What's the details, Laurie?
Yeah, it's the fact that Crystal Palace are sort of exploring the possibility of bringing Aaron Wan-Bissaka back to the club. They obviously got $50 million in the bank from Manchester United, you know, back when they were on the search for a right back. And what started as a pretty positive relationship has kind of drifted into an appreciation that Aaron Wan-Bissaka is not the starting right back for United every week in the way that a club of their aspirations should be. So with Crystal Palace having Joel Ward and Nathaniel Clyne, there's obviously some love down at Sellers Park for Wan-Bissaka. So looking at whether they can bring him back, I mean, it'd be interesting to know how much of the $50 million they'd be willing to commit to get him back. Let's see. I mean, the Wilfried Zaha made the same move, didn't he? And I think United didn't get quite what they paid for him back. So, yeah, let's see.
And they might be using that money to reinvest in Calvin Phillips from Leeds as well. I said at the top he was doing an Alan Smith. Alan Smith was leaving a relegated side for a team that was consistently winning trophies at the highest level. Calvin Phillips is making a different sort of switch if he chooses to come down the M62.
And it would be a lot more febrile than the Alan Smith one, I do think, as well. I mean, Phil Hay, who we wrote the piece with, did some really good work on the Leeds side of things, and the suggestion that Alan Smith was actually a Liverpool fan anyway, whereas Calvin Phillips, absolutely. I've thrown you a curveball there, haven't you?
Yeah, I didn't know
even scratching his eyes at that one. Calvin Phillips and his family, you know, you speak to anybody, they're absolutely...
He calls them Man U, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and they're mad Leeds fans. So that's the big one for them to get across. But United have scouted him, that, you know, they admire him. He's a player that, you know, they could see in the position that they're clearly crying out for. 50 million, you know, you sort of wonder, is that the right mark for him? But let's see, you know, it's a position that for sure United are looking at in the summer.
Yeah, one to keep an eye on. Just quickly, Andy, can we preview Brentford on Monday, please? How much enthusiasm have you got for this football match that's going to take place at Old Trafford?
I actually spoke to some Brentford fans and they gave me some enthusiasm because it's going to be their first trip to Old Trafford. They're really excited about it. They've had a good season. And I thought, well, at least someone's looking forward to that game on a Monday night. It's going to be an innocuous end to the season. Manchester United are not winning. Best case scenario is that United play well, score some goals, because we've got a break now. Because that Chelsea game's been pulled forward after the Brentford game, there's a big break until the Palace game, which I think is May the 22nd. So it's going to feel really weird because other teams are going to be winning trophies, going to be in finals. There will be that Youth Cup final as well. But there's a little bit of an edge after the game at Brentford in January. That, of course, was postponed and put back. Their manager said words which I think were misconstrued against Manchester United, but I spoke to the Brentford fans and they said he's really popular. Christian Eriksen's been a success for them. Their season has been a real big success for them. They did play a pre-season game at Old Trafford in August, back in August when we were optimistic, when we thought that Manchester United could do do something this season. And I think they showed the strength.
Pereira scored a worldie.
He'll be back soon.
United will be back, and that's the bigger pitch, which I suppose we should be looking at. We just don't know when it'll be, and there's been so many false dawns that there's a lot of uncertainty about.
He actually said Andres Pereira will be back. I think that was a more deflating reflection than the Manchester United will be back, but there we are.
Yeah, there we go. We've teed up that game on Monday and just sort of whet the appetite for that, I think, haven't we? We'll be back, of course, after that game against Brentford to talk about whatever happens there and look into the abyss of the end of this season as well. But for the minute, Laurie, thank you for joining us here in the press box at an empty Old Trafford. Andy, thank you for joining us on the line from sunny Spain as well, even though it's night time, so I don't know why I said that. But thank you very much for being with us at home listening to Talk of the Devils. We'll be back on Monday night. See you then. Bye-bye.
The Athletic.